Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
The last 2 months have seen the passing of well-known personalities on the Swiss music and acoustic scene. But 2013 has also started with the announcement by the rock and soul singer Tina Turner that she had become a Swiss citizen. This is still awaiting approval by cantonal and federal authorities, although it's virtually a mere formality in her case. I've reported on this elsewhere in Switzerland and Sound, so I won't go into details here, except to say that Tina Turner has been living on a luxury estate on the Lake of Zurich since 1995. It's not surprising, then, that she wanted to formalize her fondness for Swiss life by taking citizenship. On the other hand, Tina Turner's decision to voluntarily renounce her U.S. citizenship has been seen by some cynical observers as a move to free herself from U.S. tax obligations, the United States being the only country in the world to tax its citizens living abroad. Tina Turner's personal wealth has been placed at $200 million, so considering that she's already paying Swiss taxes, the renunciation of U.S. citizenship will certainly do her no financial harm, although her spokeswoman says that Turner's decision has nothing to do with taxes. I would only add that, for the record, the American embassy and consulates have been inundated by U.S. citizens lining up to renounce their U.S. citizenship. But recent weeks have also witnessed an uncanny number of deaths in the field of music and sound. On January 10th, Claude Nobs, known as the father of the Montreux Jazz Festival, died at the age of 76 after a cross-country skiing accident. Claude Nobs was from the Montreux area and in the early days worked for the local tourist office. One of his first jobs in the 1960s was to organize a music festival. It grew and grew, attracting the greatest names in jazz, rock, and soul music. The rest is history. Hours later, another great Swiss name in jazz, George Gruntz, died in his native Basel of what was described as a long illness at the age of 80. George Gruntz was also internationally known. He was a multi-talented musician and big band leader whose long-standing passion was jazz. He was featured by the legendary Voice of America jazz broadcaster Willis Conover and was also a regular guest on Jazz Panorama, the long-running jazz show on Swiss Radio International, hosted by another internationally known Swiss jazz personality and broadcaster, Lance Shannon, a co-founder of the Swiss Jazz School in Bern and with whom I had the privilege of working. In fact, I even had the honor of having been chosen to do the opening announcement for the show. I once interviewed George Gruntz years ago for a feature program on the annual Basel Carnival, which you'll find under Vintage Features. That interview with George Gruntz, like so many hundreds I did over the years, was recorded on a tape recorder designed and produced by another world-renowned Swiss personality in the acoustic field, Stefan Kudelski. He was a Polish immigrant who escaped his home country just prior to Hitler's invasion. Stefan Kudelski made his home near Lausanne, where he studied at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology. When he started the business bearing his name, Kudelski specialized in what is still regarded as the world's finest and most reliable portable tape recording equipment, also known by the product name Nagra. These recording devices are still used in film production and broadcasting. In fact, Stefan Kudelski received several Academy and Emmy Awards in recognition of his work. I'll never forget interviewing Stefan Kudelski about his revolutionarily new recorder at the time, the SN, a tiny compact device introduced in the early 70s. It used audio cassette tape instead of the traditional quarter-inch tape, and it was so small and thin that it could be carried in a coat pocket. But Stefan Kudelski was also very proud of another of his innovations that was designed to go along with the SN, a tiny condenser microphone that was so sensitive that it could reproduce excellent quality sound even when placed under clothing. Of course, my question to him was, who needs that kind of a microphone? I'll never forget his answer. Oh, they need them sometimes in the film industry, but there are other applications. For example, my first order for the SN came from the CIA. They bought 100 of them. Stefan Kudelski died in Lausanne on January 26th at the age of 84. I'll bet you most of his recording equipment is still in operation. In addition to the newly produced material offered on the website and here on PCJ Media, we also feature some old vintage reports and features from the pre-Switzerland in Sound days. The information they contain may no longer be valid or up to date, but we present this material as a sound document for your listening pleasure. Here is one of those vintage items.
Here in Switzerland, there are between 7 and 8,000 blind or severely visually handicapped people. 80 to 90,000 more have some form of visual impairment that makes it difficult for them to use modern technological tools like the personal computer. Modern computers and software have become highly visual, but this does not mean that they can't be adapted to the needs of the visually impaired. This was the theme at a recent exhibition in the city of Biel. It was sponsored by the Swiss Federation of the Blind and attracted a number of companies and organizations specialized in this field. Arnold Schneider is the Secretary General of the Swiss Federation of the Blind. He's totally sightless himself, but considers the personal computer an essential part of his professional and private life.
I think there are two aspects. One aspect is that the computer is a tool which is used at nearly every workplace. And so it's very important that blind people are also able to use this tool. On the other hand, the computer is an access method to information. So with the computer and the appropriate access technology, they can access books with scanners, and they can access newspapers through internet, and they can access CD-ROMs and so on. So they have access to a lot of information which was not available before the computer was there.
Arnold Schneider, Secretary General of the Swiss Federation of the Blind. Irma Schick may be totally blind, but she demonstrated a very special kind of vision when a few years ago she decided to start computer courses for the visually impaired here in Bern. At the time, the personal computer was considered by many to be a mainly visual tool unsuitable for the blind. Irma Schick took up the challenge and was among the first blind people in Switzerland to master the computer and actually use it in her work as a secretary and translator.
Bonjour.
We have to get used to that computer voice a little bit, but it's amazing. You sat at the computer just a moment ago, Mrs. Schick, and you put this in on the keyboard, and out came the words that you would put in. What happened here? What's going on? What is this system?
The system is a normal computer, as you buy as well if you are a normally sighted person. It's a computer with a normal keyboard and also a normal monitor. But I have, with this normal computer, a braille line underneath my keyboard.
Yes, it looks like sort of a support or a base that goes underneath the regular computer keyboard.
Yes, just under the keyboard. And with my hands, I can read all what I have written, every line for line. I can read the whole monitor this way. I write with a normal keyboard and I read what I have written on this braille line.
And then we have the added dimension now of the synthesized computer voice, so you have that option to listen to exactly what you have written.
Yes, I have a braille line and I have the synthetic voice. So I have two possibilities of controlling my work.
Now, let's just look at the computer screen. I noticed there were a couple of other people, your husband, for example. Your husband is visually impaired, but he can read the screen.
Yes.
If he goes very close, and the actual text, the characters are very large. I think the Windows 95 program, the Word program especially, already allows you to use special characters for the visually impaired.
Yes, it allows it to enlarge the letters on the screen.
You say that you are working as a secretary and a translator. That implies that once you master this technique, you can work pretty fast.
Yes, as fast as everybody else.
How many students do you have, let's say, in an average year?
I don't have classes. I have
so it's individual.
Student. Yes, individual. And I would say I have, in the year, 25 students.
Are there any limitations to using a computer for the visually impaired? Or can you use a computer like Internet, for example, and other programs like anyone else?
Yes, like anyone else. Internet, I'm doing Internet as well. I'm writing my text. I'm also reading with my computer. I put on a scanner and so I can read my post. What's coming in every day.
So the computer reads it for you and you
yes.
get it either through the Braille touch keyboard or through the speaker.
Yes. I think for the people who can use it and who don't be afraid to use it, I think it's a grand advantage.
In Switzerland, is there any financial support or help for the visually impaired in getting this equipment?
Yes, I must say we are still lucky. In Switzerland, the people who are working, they receive for their work really great financial help for the aids, for braille lines and such like. But also private person, through institutions, they get help so that nobody must be without computer if they really need one.
Could you get the computer to say goodbye to us?
Yes, I try.
Whatever language you like?
Yes, yes, I try.
This will be German. Auf Wiedersehen und einen guten Tag.
Auf Wiedersehen und einen guten Tag.
Armed with the basic equipment of the kind Irma Sheik just demonstrated, the blind and visually impaired are ready to take on just about anything that modern computers can offer, including the Internet. Although pure graphics are still a problem, the Internet is full of text information and, of course, audio-on-demand services. Jörg Kartemus is a specialist in surfing the net, blind.
SBV Information. Infovision 97 Gastrom Erkblatt. Beratungsstellen. Adressen die EDV Beratungsstelle. Regionalsekretariat Deutschschweiz. Dienstleistungen.
We have here the entry page in German of our Swiss Federation of the Blind. For example, there's an information how you should behave when you meet a blind person in a restaurant, for example. Information about our hotel center in the Berner Oberland. Information about meetings organized by our federation.
Do you find that this page is also accessed by sighted people who are really interested in knowing more about the blind and the visually impaired?
I myself already had contacts from sighted persons, which sent me emails, and they came through in this homepage.
Can you, in principle, retrieve any information from the Internet like this and produce it in a synthesized voice form?
The problem is that there are many homepages which have only graphics, and then you have to click on a graphic. For example, there's a book. When you click on the book, you have a table of contents of this book, but for speech and braille, it is impossible to see this graphic.
So the Internet is really rather user unfriendly if you have some kind of a visual impairment.
It depends on the layout of the web page of each site. You should always have the information of the web page, not only in graphic mode, but also in text mode. And then it is very well accessible for the blind and visually impaired persons.
But you're not completely cut off from the Internet and the use of computers. You've come a long way already. I understand, for example, that you can even read some Swiss newspapers right off the line. Is that right?
We have a project here in Switzerland and there are others in Germany as well, where you can load down newspapers from a computer server and load it into your computer and then read it.
Can you download something for us?
Ausgabe vom 5. Dezember 1997.
We have the Blick tabloid paper, and let's hear their top stories now.
Was zum Teufel dürfen wir noch essen? Vorwärts von Karin Müller und Leo Uller zurück. Bernd Gerät nie mehr. Ebonges Steak nie mehr. Ochsenmaulsalat. Sägefahr auf my homepage.
Well, it's an article about people concerned about what they eat, and literally translated, what the devil are we still allowed to eat? Okay, well, it obviously works. So this must have opened a tremendous new dimension. You can actually hear a whole newspaper just being spoken to you.
Yes, it brings possibilities which we did not have yet a few years ago.
That was Jörg Kartumas, an internet specialist with the Swiss Federation of the Blind. For those who prefer oral aids that don't require a personal computer, there's the Swiss Library for the Blind and Visually Impaired. As the name implies, the library offers a wide range of literature in spoken form. Users can obtain a small player device that's light and very easy to use, and also offers the big advantage of portability. The library's Christian Moily told me more about the service.
We have talking books, we have a braille press, we have games for blind and visual handicapped people.
But I understand, unlike what we've been seeing around here, you don't use synthesized voices, you actually use the human voice, real people reading the texts.
Yes, that's true. It's more comfortable to listen to a human voice.
Could we have a sample of how something sounds? Just choose anything that you have.
Yes. Willkommen bei Plextalk. Bitte warten.
And this took the program off a CD-ROM.
Yeah.
Is that the main medium you're using, CD-ROM?
Yes, for this machine we use the CD-ROM, and the voice is digitalized. You can jump from section to section, from sentence to sentence. That's the main idea.
Now, this device is called a Plextor, and it looks like a small, very light, handy little toolbox or something, or a little briefcase that people can carry around very easily. It has buttons, volume control, large controls to make it easy to use. So let's hear that voice quality, how that sounds.
An der kleinasiatischen Küste. Wir finden die Philosophen der vorsokratischen Zeit in Milet, Ephesus, Klazomenai, Kolophon, Samos.
It sounds like a dissertation about the philosophers of ancient Greece. Is that right?
Yes. What is it? Oh, it's, yeah.
Well, there's the CD, exactly. The History of Philosophy. That means that you offer a very wide range of material, not only news and information, but also study materials of all kinds. History, mathematics, maybe?
All kind of range. We have science books and things like that for students, for studying, for school, for work. About 12,000 titles.
And how well used is this library?
We have about 5,500 users right now.
And how is this group supported?
It's almost half by subvention from the state and from people who give us money to do that service for the blind.
Thank you very much.
Willkommen bei Plextalk. Bitte warten.
Le Monde Diplomatique, Nummer 11, November 1996. Ihre Sprecherin ist Anne-Marie Cho. In dieser Ausgabe Rechtswege. Unverändert hat Russland mit enormen wirtschaftlichen und sozialen...
The Spoken Literature Service of the Swiss Library for the Blind and Visually Handicapped. One of the high-technology services for the visually handicapped, featured at the recent exhibition in the city of Biel, devoted to electronic and computer aids for the blind.
Thank you.
There are many visitors, obviously, who come to Switzerland. This is a very popular destination for visitors from all over the world. Many, many ways to see this country. And, of course, the classic way would be by train or by boat. Switzerland has probably Europe's best organized public transport system. But, you know, there's another way to see Switzerland, and that is from the bird's eye view. No, I don't mean in a commercial airliner flying over the country. I mean getting into a small plane or a helicopter, or how about a hot air or even gas balloon, doing it that way. We have the man with all the answers how we best do that. He is Felix Kieser, who is the Secretary General of the Aero Club of Switzerland. If he doesn't know about this, then nobody does. Mr. Kieser, welcome to Switzerland in Sound. First of all, quite a basic question here. We assume that it's fairly easy to see Switzerland by small plane, helicopter, or balloon. Is that in fact the case? Is it easy to do?
Yes, affirm, as the pilots would say. We have got quite a few airfields in Switzerland, more than 40 small fields, and whether it be within the Alps or further down, we have a lot of occasions to do that.
This, of course, from a pilot's point of view, is a really, it's a challenging country with all of the mountains. We have special weather patterns here, microclimates. These pilots must be pretty good. They're pretty well trained. We're not talking about the old barnstorming pilots of years ago. These guys know what they're doing.
Yes, and we have just to demonstrate what it means. We have special ALP instruction lessons that all pilots that fly in Switzerland have to undergo. And the foreign pilots who come to Switzerland, they do first get instructions how to fly within the Alps and into the Alps in case they do not perform that in their own country.
So anyone who will take a small plane ride or a helicopter ride or a balloon, they can rest assured they're in the best possible hands.
I can assure you, yes, we are very regulated. That is certainly the case.
And of course, here in Switzerland, we have to remember that there's a militia army or air force. There's a semi-professional air force in this country. I imagine some of your membership and some of these pilots probably also are military pilots at the same time. They know the mountains. They know the terrain very well.
Exactly. That's quite the case. A lot of them come from the military, are still in the military. All the basic training was in the military.
They don't get any better. I've seen some of these guys in action. It's amazing. Also on the internet, you can see some breathtaking videos of Swiss Air Force pilots and what they do. It's absolutely incredible, and anyone interested can find that. Mr. Kieser, let's look at the flights themselves. I mean, Switzerland is a small country, but extremely diverse. If we look at the geography, can you say which are the most popular flights among visitors to this country?
Of course, to the Alps or within the Alps, but of the other places, very nice to see. But most popular, to answer your question, yes, these are the Alps. And within the Alps, it's probably the Matterhorn, the old Matterhorn, though there are many other places that are spectacular at the Matterhorn.
I can imagine around Lucerne, it would be the Pilatus, and in the Bernese Oberland, it would be the Jungfrau, and so on, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And the advantage is if you come out from here, then you all your way along to the Matterhorn. Well, if we stay with the Matterhorn, then you have a spectacular scenery all the way up there.
Is it possible, incidentally, to do mountain hopping trips, for example, to go over the mountains to neighboring Italy or perhaps to Germany or France? Is that also done?
Certainly. And one popular route is coming from here, the countryside, going to the Alps and then take a break in Sion, for example, or Geneva, and then go back, meaning taking a break, landing at an airport there and having what we used to call the $100 hamburger in the States to go back.
A very good friend of mine was a glider pilot here in Switzerland. He did also motor gliders. And I had some wonderful times with him. It's so breathtaking, and we mustn't forget that in addition to the classic small motorized planes, also gliders are fit into this. So we talk about small motor aircraft, light aircraft, in other words. We talk about gliders, helicopters, balloons. This is quite an assortment of hardware here. Can you say, Mr. Keyser, which type of aircraft is best suited for which type of sightseeing?
Well, I would just start with a very good idea. You've just mentioned that the sailplane, it's just that it's only for one person that can do it. So you cannot go together with your friends, but you have the pilot and yourself. That is really something special to glide among the mountains, as you just pointed out. Then, of course, there are the other means, the other aircrafts and balloons, the small ones, the bigger ones, from the small one that is probably the most popular, the Piper and the Cessnas and so on. But you have the small helicopters also that are more affordable than the big ones. And then you have the balloon, the hot air or even gas, which has become rare. But that is something very spectacular to do and really amazing, the balloon rides.
Well, the balloon, of course, that must be the great classic way. I mean, we go back to the grand days of the grand tour, seeing the mountains by balloon. You bring your champagne along and you sit and just look at God's country. You need some time for a balloon trip, don't you?
Exactly. You need the weather, the pilot and time, and then if you talk about the old times, we have to mention the gas balloon, which has, as I said, become very rare, but also very expensive, we have to be honest.
Let's look at the cost for a moment. Does one have to see his banker first before you go on one of these trips, or is it affordable?
No, I think it's sufficient to consult your family and take it along. So we are talking from, I would say, 100 francs up, of course. If you have 100 francs for a helicopter, that will be a short jump you do. But with the four-seater small airplane with 100 francs, you do already a 30-minute trip. Mm-hmm. But I would say from 150 francs on, you have a beautiful sight. And as far as ballooning is concerned, I would add up that to 200. But the average is for the motor aircraft. For a sightseeing into the Alps, I would just say 200 to 250, about an average. With a helicopter, it adds that up to, or goes up to 350, and the balloon also around that.
Now, are these half-hour segments we're talking about, or full hour?
The average one I was mentioning now, I counted an hour. That, mm-hmm. I think, is an average of a sightseeing flight.
Well, that's a pretty fair
flight.
Ride
the balloon, yes.
Yeah, that's a good flight. Felix Keyser, the Secretary General of the Aero Club of Switzerland, with some expert, well-informed information for those who would like to see Switzerland from up there. On your next visit, some great ideas. We'll also have a few links for you here on the website. Mr. Keyser, thank you very much, and of course I have to wish you happy landings.
Okay, I thank you very much, and wish everybody flights over and into Switzerland.
Unforgettable it will be. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay.
For Switzerland in Sound, this is Bob Zanotti.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.